Thank you, musicians, again. This is something that recently, Brother Ryder spoke about this sometime last year, about the vine and the branches and bearing fruit. And then we had a little 9-year-old. I'm going to get to you. She's sitting over there. Me. And Haley, little 9-year-old, she spoke about this. And one of her key phrases was, give God a big hug, ask God for a big hug, bear hug from God. But I just run across it, and I thought I would share a little bit on it again today, partially because Christians should be bearing fruit. And if we don't keep that in our mind, we sometimes sort of pull ourselves up by the roots so that we don't have to. You know, we just kind of get a little bit lax. So anyway, let's just talk a little bit about fruit today and what Jesus said here in his scripture in John the 15th chapter. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and then we're going to talk just a little while about it and then go from there. Jesus said this, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abideth in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Praise the Lord. Father, today, once again, open the eyes of our heart, ears of our understanding. Help us, Lord, to know and see what your word says, in Christ's name. Amen. There's four stages of fruit bearing. There is no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's what it says here. First 8 verses, you see this. There's fruit, no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. So I believe God wants us to bear fruit. But perhaps you'd ask me, what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, I guess we could give a variety of answers to that, a lot of different ways to answer that, but we all should be bearing fruit. And to bear fruit is sort of like, if I plant a tomato, I put a plant in the ground, or I grow it from a seedling, whatever you might do, but if you grow it from a seedling, you're still going to have to transplant it into good ground, correct? Prepare the soil, put it in good ground, water it. When it gets a certain stage, you kind of break off them little sucklings, the parts that's not going to, have you ever done that? You get that, there's a part on there that won't grow, so you cut that off because it kind of sucks the nutrients from it and grows out, but it doesn't produce, so you take care of that. And so when I plant it, though, I'm expecting to get a harvest of tomatoes eventually. I know when I first put it in the ground, I'm not going to get a harvest that day, but actually, if I go out there every day, at the first 2 weeks and expect something out of it, I'm going to be disappointed, because you're not going to get anything until it gets good roots and gets the nutrients from the ground. And when the time is right for a tomato to be formed, it'll be formed on there. And then it has to get a certain, unless you like fried green tomatoes, you want it to get red and you want to beat the birds to it. And you want to go out there and make sure them little ugly green worms don't get on it. And so you want it to bear fruit. Well, God wants us also to bear fruit, and so he gives us a formula here for it. And so one thing in bearing fruit is that we do is that we bear converts. As Christians, we should have some converts, somebody that we have helped convert to Jesus Christ. Not just for our glory, not just so we can say we did something for God, but for His glory and for the benefit of that person that you helped convert. We should have converts in our life. Paul said in Romans the first chapter and 13th verse says, "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So here he was, he had never made it to Rome, but he wanted to go there so that he could bear fruit. So he could have converts, because that was Paul's goal in life, was to lead people to Jesus Christ. And he felt like if he didn't lead somebody to Christ, he was not bearing fruit. So are there any fruit bearers here? Have we led anybody to Christ recently? That's a part of bearing fruit. It's more than just attending a house of worship. It's more than staying for the afternoon service. It's bearing fruit. We come, we hear the word, we should take the word, and that word should perform a work in our lives and change us and transform us and cause us then to bear fruit. And to bear fruit is part of that is to make converts. Amen? That's just part of it. That's something you do. And so you invite people to come to the house of worship. If they don't want to come, you tell them about Jesus. You see if you can't get them to know Christ and then convert them to a church somewhere. You know, we used to invite them to church and expect them to come to church and hear a really great message and they get saved. I think it's changed a little bit, so now I think you need to get them saved and then plug them into a good church, which should be your church. But you understand what I'm saying. You point them to Jesus, and that's bearing fruit. So we need to have some fruit. Every one of us of some sort have some fruit. And also, if you bear fruit, you will bear righteousness. Romans 6:21. There will be some righteousness in your life. It says this in Romans 6:21. It says, "What fruit had ye then in these things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death." So what was he talking about? Things that were disobedient to Christ. Things that would go against what Christ had to say. Things that would go against the Word of God. In fact, this verse 19, he says this, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." The infirmity of your flesh, the weakness of your flesh. "For you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness." You have yielded your body and your spirit to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. He says now you need to yield yourself and your body and your whole being unto righteousness, which leads to holiness. And then once you do that, you will then, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, and you didn't have any fruit when you were free from righteousness. But now that you become a Christian, he says now you used to be ashamed of these things, but now you've been made free from sin. You are servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Do you understand? If you get saved, you're really saved. There is fruit. It is fruit unto righteousness. Not self-righteousness, not self. It's all about bearing fruit unto God. And so it's important that we bear fruit unto holiness. We're familiar with the next scripture in that passage I'm reading. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Do you think we're part of an exclusive club that ought to keep this precious gift of salvation to ourselves? Do you think it's just for us, the chosen frozen, the chosen few? No, it's for whosoever will. And that's our job, is to share with the whosoever wills. Tell them about Christ. Bearing fruit unto righteousness, which brings holiness. Holiness is being made right with God. Come on now. Just simple, another way to say sanctification. I've been set apart. I've been made holy. I've been made right with God. I tell you, folks, if we depended upon our righteousness, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't attain what we need to attain in and of ourselves. We need God. And this whole world needs God, so we should be bearing fruit. And then fruit bears character. The character of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And that would be a single-minded lifestyle. And you look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, and the 22nd verse. If you really want to know the opposite between living for God and not living for God, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, you read that whole chapter. Or you back up and read those the works of the flesh. And they talk about the conflict of the flesh and the spirit. And then you see the works of the flesh which are manifest, which are these. Man, it gets right down and dirty. And you know what's a shame? The Bible tells us these things should not be even named among you. Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians. But yet these things are a part of the latter day church. These things, it's written here, the works of the flesh that are made manifest. They're in the church today. Maybe as prevalent in the church as they are out of the church. And if that's the case, then the church is not the church. But he says this about the fruit of the Spirit. We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're bearing these fruits, you'll not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You'll crucify your flesh and affections and lust of your flesh. You'll do that. It says, now, I don't want to read all those. You guys, you read them for yourself. You might as well read them because this is opposite of that. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when I talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not many different fruits. It's one fruit with different parts. Best way I know to explain it, it's like an orange. You peel it out and you can take it apart. And there's many different parts of the orange, but they all are sweet. They all make the orange. Now, the peeling is not so great, but that fruit inside is good. And you can peel it apart, eat piece after piece, get you a little salt. Y'all like them like that? Oh, it's good. It's good. That sweet and that salt. What's wrong with you folk? I got a witness back there, man. We're kindred spirits. It's good to eat. But this is the fruit of the Spirit that we should be bearing as Christians. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, it goes on to say, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This fruit should be evident in every Christian's life. But for it to be evident, you have to crucify the flesh and the affections and lust of the flesh. So, well, that's hard. Yes, it is sometimes. I'm going to leave that alone. It is. But that's a part of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live and walk and move and breathe and have our being in Christ Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. Now, I know we're all going to have breakdowns, most of us, every now and then. We're going to break down. Okay, that happens. But when it does, you should be checked in your spirit, convicted in your heart, and you should repent immediately. Immediately. Don't say, well, when I get to church Sunday, if he preaches a good message, maybe I'll repent. Repent immediately. You should be checked and convicted in your spirit and repent of it immediately when you let down. Maybe you get angry without cause. You're not long-suffering. In some area of your life you fail. Ask God to forgive you. But then it goes on. There's some conditions for bearing fruit. And you go back to John the 15th chapter. there's some conditions for bearing fruit. First, there's cleansing. It says here, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He purges it, purgeth it. And he, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he cleanses it. So he can bear fruit. Goes on and says later, he prunes it so it can bear fruit. But he purges it. He gets it ready to bear fruit. He cleanses it. We have all been cleansed. We've been made right by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. That is cleansing. What can make me, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It goes on to say, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He purges us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So first, to bear fruit, we must be cleansed, made right with God. Secondly, we have to abide. It says in verse 3, now we are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. We are clean. Secondly, we have to abide in the vine. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So if you want to bear fruit, you have to abide in the vine. You have to stay connected with Jesus Christ. Your roots must be in the ground of salvation. You've got to stay in that good soil if you want to bear much fruit. And that's what it said. You must abide in the vine. And thirdly, if you really want to be an obedient, you have to be, if you want to have a condition for bearing fruit, then you must be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and hearkening to better than the fat of the rams. In other words, you trust and you obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You have to learn to abide. You're cleansed, you abide, and you are in perfect, total obedience to the Word of God. It's important. If you want to bear fruit, you've got to abide in the vine. Verse 10 and verse 12 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we do that. So we first, a true Christian will abide in the vine. You abide in the vine. It's very important that we abide in the vine. So let's look at that just a minute. So if you're abiding in the vine, you are walking in open confession before God. You're open confession. I'm not asking you to come to some booth and I get on one side and you get on another. And there's a little petition in there. And you come in there and say, Pastor, forgive me for I've sinned. Do all the, well, go do this, so many Hail Marys or whatever. Go talk to your beads or something. I don't know what they do. I have no clue. Make this little whatever. Can't even do that right. You are in open confession to God. You confess your sin. You repent of your sin. You don't just confess it. You repent of it. And repentance means turning from it. You recognize it, you confess it, and you turn from it. And so you have to walk in confession. In doing so, you're opening up to God. He knows your very thoughts. He knows everything about you, but you must acknowledge to God that you are a sinner, that you have disobeyed Him, that you have disappointed Him, that you want to be right with Him. So you have to open up to Him. You confess every known sin. Well, that won't take me long, preacher. Well, good for you. Some of us, sometime, we have things we've got to confess. It may have just been an anger without cause. It may have been a word that slipped. It might just been an attitude that just crept in. It might have just been little or nothing, but yet, and you may not even have recognized it, but we did because we were checked in our spirit. So you have to confess it. Ask God to forgive you. And don't walk in sin. If you want to be really abide in the vine, you shun even the very appearance of evil. You don't walk in sin no more. That's what we used to do. We walked away from it. We were cleansed. We were washed. We were set free. We don't walk in sin no more. If you want to abide in the vine, but you never let sin go unconfessed. You ever done something, you got convicted of it, but yet you got ashamed of it also, and you didn't want to confess it to anybody? Well, I'm not asking you to confess it to anybody. I'm asking you and telling you that the Word of God teaches us if we're going to abide in the vine, we must confess it to Him. But He already knows it, preacher. Yes, He does, but He wants you to acknowledge it. No, I ain't going to acknowledge nothing. Well, you're going to be in trouble. Acknowledge it. Father, I've sinned. Father, I've sinned. I've disappointed you. Please forgive me. And you'll abide in the vine. You'll stay where you need to be. You see, a Christian walks in fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ. He lives and moves and has his being in Christ. That's you. You're a Christian. You move and live and have your being in Christ. And you should want to stay in Him. A Christian is always conscious of God's presence. Have you ever think God doesn't pay? He knows what you're thinking right now. That ought to frighten some of us. Some of you is thinking, I really wish He'd get this over with so we could go home. It's almost 2:30. Some of us saying, if He'd shut up, I could wake up and we could go home. Y'all don't quit dozing, I'm going to keep talking. A Christian is conscious of God's presence. He learns from God. He draws strength and authority to live victoriously day by day from God. That's where you abide in the vine. You're getting the strength you need to be victorious from God. It don't happen in and of yourself. Sure, you got to do a few things. Yes, you got to put forth some effort, but you move and live and have your being in Christ. You're not going to be successful outside of Christ. You're not going to be a good Christian outside of Christ. You won't be victorious outside of Christ. You'll be miserable without Christ, trying to do it on your own. It's a miserable life, but it's a good life living for the Lord. So, however, fruit-bearing Christians are still pruned. I wish I'd thought about that. I'd brought some of them shears up here. You ever seen them, Bill? Man, they just lop them limbs right off. I'd ask one of you to come here and hold your hand out. Nobody had done it, but anyway, could ask. You get pruned once in a while. Every now and then there's some stuff in your life that needs to be gotten out. You may not have recognized it, but then you did. You didn't know, but then you did know. And God's got to take care of it. And He's going to take them big old spiritual pruning shears, and He's going to cut them bad limbs off. It's going to hurt sometime. But everybody has bad spots. And when you prune a tree or something, you cut off the bad spot and the useless buds, the misdirected shoots, the discolored leaves, you take them off. There's some plants out here in the hall, and sometimes they don't get watered quite like they need to, but every now and then, even though they do get watered, there's some leaves on there that discolor. Well, if we just left them on there, eventually they'd fall, but they'd still just be there. We cut them off or pull them off every now and then to keep the plants looking good. Every spring almost, if we think about it, get time, whatever it is, we try to trim our rows of Sharons a little bit. Try to trim them up somewhat to make them grow better, produce prettier flowers, and bring more enjoyment to our lives. Well, God wants to prune you so that you will have a sweeter fragrance, larger flowers, and bring more enjoyment, not just to Him, but to yourself and everybody that comes in contact with you. God prunes us every now and then. We need pruning. We need those things that are bad and useless and misdirected and discolored cut off of us so that we can be a more productive Christian. And when we bloom, our flower will be more pretty with a better fragrance and bring more pleasure to everybody. Come on now. You understand? So, there's areas in our lives sometimes need to be cleaned away. Cleared up. Might be our thoughts, an attitude, a commitment, a behavior, a relationship, some service, passion, motives, willingness. There's a lot of things need to be cleaned up. I noticed last night on The Incredible Dr. Poll. I like that show. I don't know why. A bunch of calves getting pulled and stuff like that. Still hadn't learned how to do it. But they had a horse that was limping on his front leg. Horse was limping. So he gets out there and he pulls that up and he takes his little pick out and he starts digging at that horse's hoof. He says, "That horse got thrush. See right here?" Digs that out and he puts some kind of stuff on it, wraps up, said it'll be all right in a couple weeks. But if he had left that horse's hoof alone, it would just kept getting worse and worse and probably would eventually would have got infected, really infected, and that horse would have become lame for life and possibly need to be put down. Same way with us. Sometimes we need some cleaning up. There's some stuff there. There's some stuff there that we didn't notice at first, but now it's causing a limp. Causing our Christian walk to be a walk that we're limping into. And we need a little cleaning up. And God will do it. Once again, we need to let God be God and do our part, but let God do His part, and we need some things sometime need to be cleaned out of our lives. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody and it was caustic? Is that the right word for it? There's caustic too. Toxic and caustic. It's bad for you. There you go. And although they were friends and been friends for a long time, their relationship had deteriorated to where every time you're around them, it brought grief. You couldn't be around them because they were so negative. And they just always causing problems and drama and this and that. Sometimes you have to sever some relationships, although they may have been lifelong relationships. Sometimes you just got to get away because for the good of your spiritual well-being. So, there's another purpose, a one-fold purpose to pruning. And that's simply this, to bear more fruit. The only reason God prunes, to bear more fruit. It's not to punish you. It's not to hurt or damage the branch. It's so that the branch, the vine, will bear more fruit. And every believer is a fruit bearer. Well, I don't know what kind of fruit you're bearing. Have you ever pulled a tomato off the vine and there's a bad spot in it? Sometimes, it looks good, but there's a bad spot. Might be a worm in it. Sometimes we need some cleaning up, and God doesn't do it to punish us. He does it so that we might bear more fruit. There's different stages of fruit bearing. And I'll close shortly. Not everybody's 100%. Matthew 13, verse 8. Let me read that to you. It says this, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Talking about the sower. Sometimes not everybody brings forth the same fruit. But we must abide in the vine. It's God's business to prune, to plant, to prune, to cultivate, and it's His business also to bring the production. But He wants you to bear much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, but a whole lot of fruit. And it's your responsibility to do whatever you can to make sure that you bear fruit. We must abide in the vine. It's imperative that we abide in the vine. I don't know where I got this at, but it says, to dwell, continue, stay, sojourn, rest in, or upon. That's abiding in the vine. It is being set and fixed and remaining there. The closer or the more the branch abides in the vine, or the closer to the heart of the vine, the more nourishment a branch draws from the vine, and the more fruit it bears. Draw close to God, and you'll bear much fruit. Amen? Amen. Put on just a little bit of music. Let's come have a time of prayer.